Haunted Satellite by Beth Orton, who we are very lucky to have on the line live from the UK. Kia ora, Beth. How are you this evening for you, this morning for us?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. How are you?
God, it's such a pleasure to speak with you. We're so excited that you're coming to play some shows in New Zealand here in Auckland on the 20th of this month, which is really just around the corner now, because it's been a long time since we've had you on these shores, and there's lots of music, lots of life to catch up on between those last showings. It's really exciting to have you here playing particularly this album and other things as well, Weather Alive, which came out in 2022. I wanted to start by asking, since this record's come out, how have you kind of found yourself sitting with it now that a couple of years have kind of passed since it's been released?
I think what's been really, really enjoyable about the record is playing it live, because it was quite a beast to kind of climb back inside and learn how to play it live. And it's funny, with a couple of years under my belt, I guess I honestly have lost touch with time. I think it might be it might actually only be a year
and a wee bit, yeah,
a year and a little bit, yeah. And I think it keeps growing, you know, live. The live experience keeps growing, so I'm really actually happy, because I was going to come out last year and in the end I postponed and I'm coming now. And I just played a big festival in America in Tennessee, and it feels like it's just every time I play it, I'm like, I discover something new. So it's fantastic to be coming to play it live.
Oh, well, we're in for a treat. I'm really looking forward to it, because it's such an expansive record, and it's really got worlds contained in not just the kind of duration of the whole album, but songs themselves have a timelessness to it. Where, you know, I was listening to it last night, and I absolutely did actually lose track of the time, and it was a beautiful sort of strange feeling to have on a Tuesday night, just in your flat, to be kind of out of space a wee bit. It does feel like it took you in some places when you were writing this. When you are performing it live now, do you kind of reflect on that process, or does that feel quite separate in the past now?
I definitely think that this record is a meditation of sort. It's like, it was quite meditative to make it. It was quite a meditative space, and that definitely comes back when playing it live. I think to fight that is, it would be foolish, because that is what happens, and it's wonderful to experience that on stage. And I've been, and what's also, like, I think, really exciting is that it sort of shines a new light on the older songs as well, and brings them into the fold of that kind of like sort of transformative, like trance-like, and meditative place. And for me, as someone who's been quite a nervous performer in the past, it's really enjoyable to bring that kind of that feeling into the fray live.
That must be really special. Did it feel like that when you were writing this for you? Did it feel meditative, or what was the actual process of, you know, sort of starting these tracks out? How did they kind of begin their life?
They started in a, I call it like, I don't, well, it's, it feels almost like post-ictal, which is like, I wasn't very well at the time when I started writing these songs, and I was having some experiences of simple partial seizures, and I was like dealing with that, and I was on medication. I was much better, but I was still in quite a liminal state in a lot of ways. And I think that definitely influenced the songs. It influenced my writing. It took a lot of self-consciousness away. Definitely, it's like a different part of my brain. It's much more right-sided, and the left side was kind of a bit damaged at the time. Not damaged. It's not. What's the word? It's not damaged. That's just, I don't want to say that, but it was affected and possibly slightly sleepy. And anyway, I was just in a very creative state, I think, and it was a good state to write songs in. And anyway, I'm really going off down a tangent.
No, I'm loving it. Please carry on.
But I think that definitely influenced the songs, and it's kind of the nicest part of that whole experience, I suppose, was discovering music again, and sort of remembering me. The records are a lot about memory and loss of memory and how memory got affected for me, but actually I'm kind of like quite a cheap date now. Every film, I'm like, oh my God, this film's amazing. This book's amazing. But I also feel the same about my own. I'm like, wow, music is amazing. Like, wow, I get to write songs. That's brilliant. And so I think that, you know, all gets intertwined in it. And now this record that I get to sort of re-experience every time we play it live, it's very exciting.
That is exciting. And there's something really beautiful about that when you've had such a long career to be able to re-find a joy or a newness almost in making that feels very fresh for yourself must be a really quite a liberating experience in some ways as well.
Yeah, definitely liberating. It's like, it's you know, yeah, it's actually, it really is. It's fantastic. I feel very lucky. Yeah.
Am I right in thinking you were writing on the piano mostly to start these tracks? I was just going to say, what was that like? And then when you brought all these other lush soundscapes and, you know, instruments into it, I wondered what that process looked like too.
So I started writing again when I sort of decided that I just fell in love with the piano. I played piano when I was little, like, I played around with piano. I've always enjoyed like messing about on piano, but I've never really. So I'm like, I suppose when I first started writing songs, it was like on two chords. It was like, you know, a plucking very simple, and it was sort of like learning again. And I think that that had something to do with it. And then when other musicians got involved, and the other musicians being Tom Skinner and being Tom Herbert, beautiful drummer, beautiful bass player, that of course was, you know, just like a whole other level of beauty. And so that got mixed in, and it was during lockdown, so there was like a window of opportunity, and we had one day in my friend's studio, and then it was so lovely. It was like, let's do another couple of days. So then we did 3 days in this incredible place in London, in South London. Anyways, it's just a funny old studio, but really fantastic, beautiful Neve desk, really warm sound.
Nice.
And we went in for 3 days, and we had like we just did two or three takes at most of each song, just like ran through them all, barely had any time. But and then I handed that into the label I was with at the time, and within about 3 months they dropped me. And then yeah, that was cool. And then it was just like, oh, well, I just really want to see what would happen if I finish this. So
yeah.
I borrowed a bit of money, and they also owed me a little bit left from the advance. So I just put it in, and I just continued making the record for nobody, literally. And it's funny because I sort of wrote the songs for nobody as well, because at the time it just seemed like, you know, I mean, like I say, it's like a funny thing, because I found out that I loved what I do in a whole new way.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't for anyone or for anything. And that was also liberating. And now this was a new liberation, just like, what would happen if, you know, what if I just took the drums out? What if I did this? What if I did? And then I remotely started to call in different friends to bring stuff. So a guy called Shazada Smiley, who's the most wonderful multi-instrumentalist, he and I would work strange hours, and then I would just piece things together with Francine Perry, who was the engineer with me on the record, and then she recorded the vocals with me. And in this very beautiful you know, I don't know, you know, puzzle, quilt, whatever, embroidery, all that jazz, that just started to come together and create this sound. It was very special. Yeah,
I think that's a lovely thing, and you know, quite a brave thing as well, to be able to just sort of make music that you're making for yourself in a lot of ways, because a lot of people, you know, for many decades, Beth, have found your music really articulates things that they have felt very true in their own lives. And I wondered if that ever is in your mind when you're writing. Do you ever think about how other people are going to, you know, receive it at all? But obviously with this record, it felt very much like something you were just doing for you as well, which is a pretty special feeling.
Yeah.
But how has it been kind of having it be something that other people have a wee bit of ownership over now?
Well, I think with like my first two records, like I think in retrospect, I've started to understand how sort of extraordinary and how lucky I don't know, like that people have, you know, the messages I get back are, I lost someone and this record got me through it. I found someone, this record carried us through it. You know, I had a baby, I had a this, like it just seemed that those two records were records that people had quite deep life experiences alongside. And that is like, is wonderful. At the time though, it was really overwhelming because, you know, I did worry. I got to worry about like, well, I mean, you know, I sort of started to feel like I had to write for every person in the room, because if I didn't, I was going to let someone down. And that was a really horrible and complicated feeling. Like as much as you're like amazed that it's touching anyone at all, and it's wonderful, it also becomes this kind of odd burden. You're like, oh, I don't want to mess it up. And then I think that kind of like started to stifle me a little bit. And then I think with the record, like Comfort of Strangers, I was sort of breaking out of that. And I was starting to get more into the kind of art of being a songwriter. And then I got pregnant, and then a whole other journey began. And then I became kind of responsible for those little guys, which is brilliant. And then I think because in all that time, the spotlight just kind of naturally went off of me, and I stopped having to write for anyone particularly, that was really healthy for me. And so by the time I got to this record, there was kind of no one left in the room. They say that, right, that gradually all your critics leave the room bit by bit by bit, and then it's just you and whatever it is you're making, whether it's like a painting, whether it's a song or whatever. And I think by that point, it was just me and the music in the room, and I had no self-conscious like overseeing my own work self. I was just in it, and it was brilliant.
That is brilliant, and such a wonderful thing to be able to feel that too, and through the strangeness of the last 5 years, which has felt, you know, so collectively odd and stressful and you know, a massive period of grief and change, but also a lot of, you know, soul searching and perhaps some moments of quite like lovely personal reflection. I'm sure everybody's had versions of that. And this album for me feels really like I hate to say a pandemic record, but I mean that in the best way. Like it feels like all those moments where you have that time with yourself or that time with your thoughts that perhaps we don't normally get in our real lives or something. And I really have appreciated that about this record. I can't wait to see it live. I think it's just going to be so lush. Beth, it's been such a pleasure.
Beautiful. Thank you. Cheers. Thanks for having me.
No, thank you so much for speaking with us. 20th of this month of April, you're going to be in Auckland playing at the Power Station. We can't wait. And we will see you very soon, Beth. Have a really great rest of your night. See you.
Cheers. Thanks. Bye. See you.
All in. There are three steps down to the water's edge. Take one, two, three. And there at the root of the tree, wait for me. Wait for me.
This is Weather Alive from Beth Orton's beautiful album of the same name. Such a pleasure to chat with Beth this morning, or this evening for her. Very kind of her to speak with us. She's coming to New Zealand for the first time in over a decade, which is really exciting, playing at the Power Station on the 20th of April and then at the St. James Theatre in Wellington on the 21st. Tickets for both of those shows are from Ticketmaster. It's going to be very special, so make sure you don't miss out. And if you haven't had a chance to sit with this record, it is so magic. You really, really should. I've also got 4 tickets to give away to one Beth Orton fan. You can take all your mates, which is pretty special. You can text Beth Orton and then your name and your B-card number and anything else you feel like sending in that message through to 53395. We're taking entries all week, and on Friday morning I will pick one lucky B-card holder for that excellent prize. A lot of lovely messages about that chat. Really appreciate them on 53395. But yeah, make sure you stick Beth Orton at the start of the message for spreadsheet purposes. Much appreciated.